The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:15pm with Darren Owen, Andy Holding and James Millman in the studio. Good racing to look forward to on Saturday as well, with decent cards at Newbury, Doncaster and Kelso over the obstacles. We've also got all weather racing from Lingfield. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Mark.
Good. Not too far away from the Cheltenham Festival, James.
No, time's ticking.
Time is ticking. We've got a few stories in the post today, obviously relating to the Cheltenham Festival, and we'll start with the Supreme Novices Hurdle, because it's a great way to start the festival when you're guaranteed not to lose. You've got a guaranteed return if you have a bet with William Hill. Whatever your bet is, if it wins, you get paid out. If it doesn't, you get your money back as a free bet. Duvan is 6-4 at the top of the market, 4-1 for Lamy Surge. Jolly Allen is 9s, 12s for Nichols Canyon and Shane's Hill, and then 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who do you like, James? You don't even have to get the winner, because you get
money back. That is the bonus, isn't it? You haven't got to get a winner. And for that reason, probably Jolly Allen will be the one I'd be going for. The Harry Fry, JP McManus owned runner, who perhaps a little bit disappointing, but he did come up against Garde la Victoire. He was obviously a very useful older horse. He's obviously won the Greatwood Hurdle this year previously. And I thought that was a decent effort by Jolly Allen in the circumstances. And he earlier looked very, very useful, winning three times in Novice Hurdle. So he's had plenty of experience. That won't do him any harm, having that run against an experienced older type. Duvan, obviously, is going to be very hard to beat. Obviously, Nicholas Canyon, who's pretty useful over hurdles as well as his flat form. If he doesn't run, then it would be clear that Duvan is the clear number one for the William Mullins team. And those three wins he's had in a row, two of them in Ireland, beating Sizing John and Alpha Desabo, was very impressive last time out. He was 3-1 on, but it was a good performance. 6-4, a little bit on the skinny side, perhaps, bearing in mind it is the opener. But I think with William Hill's excellent offer, you're getting a refund, getting a free bet in another race at Cheltenham. I would take 9-1 about Jolly Allen for me. And hopefully, well, whatever happens, you've got a little bit of money to play with for the rest of the festival.
Yeah, no loose start to the festival. It's a fantastic offer. Jolly Allen then for James in that one. While we're on the subject of the Cheltenham Festival, let's take a look at some of the championship races as well, because we're non-runner money back on those. And we'll take a look at the champion hurdle, because there's a bit of news knocking about that Nigel Twiston Davis believes that the new one should be joint favourite rather than, well, as it stands at the moment, for Heen 11-10. The new one is 3-1, 5-1 for Jeski. Hurricane Fly is 8s and 10-1 for Underso, 12s or bigger for the others. Mm. Do you agree with him?
No.
Fair enough.
Short enough. Basically, yeah. If there wasn't Forheen, then yes, he should be favourite. But Forheen is there, and Forheen has been very, very impressive. What he did to Blue Heron at Kempton in the Christmas Hurdle. At the time, I was a little bit, wasn't a great race. But the fact that Blue Heron's gone on to win the Kingwell,
yep,
ensured he's not that far below the best in the UK. And bearing in mind a new one, a little bit disappointing when scrambling home at Haydock last time out. It wasn't exactly the most promising effort. And I just feel that realistically, if the Forheen the machine turns up, there is only one winner. New one was unlucky last year. I think he will beat Jeski, even if Jeski doesn't prove for the better ground and spring-like conditions that we're likely to have at Cheltenham in a couple of weeks' time. I think he will reverse the form. I think he was unlucky last year. I think he would have been coming into this season as a reigning champion hurdler, but unfortunately he got hampered and he didn't win. Whatever happened last year, I think Forheen will come in and absolutely destroy the established champion hurdle brigade like he has done already this season. He hasn't really been asked a question, but interesting to see what he finds at the bridle. But he's very impressive when he won last year at Cheltenham. And like I say, Nigel Twiston Davis, of course, he loves a new one. It's probably the apple of his eye, but saying they should be joint favourites, that's a little bit cloud cookie land.
Right, fair enough. Any other festival fancies that you've got before we move on?
Well, my main nap I've had for ages now, an opposing boss man Ben, who doesn't like Peace & Co. I really was impressed with that win at Doncaster the first time out, and nothing went right for him at Cheltenham, and he still won very, very nicely. So my banker would be Peace & Co. in the Triumph. Not much of a price, but I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat.
Okay, 9-4 at the top of the market.
Yeah, that's not bad, is it, really? I prefer him to Duvan, and Duvan's, what, 6-4? So arguably then it'd be value.
Okay, fair enough. One more thing to talk about as well. We're talking about the Cheltenham Festival. One person that won't be there, Jason Maguire.
Yeah.
The ban upheld. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I was shocked, actually. I thought I was on a podcast with Alex Dunn, I think, and I was saying that I would offer to represent Jason Maguire at the VHA, and I felt I would have been able to get him off. And reading, I think, Chris Cook in The Guardian wrote a very detailed report of what happened at the inquiry, and I'd have to say Graham McPherson, as the Maguire and Paulin lawyer, he did a good job, and he still didn't get him off, which, surprising enough for me, it's a horse that's obviously had issues. He's was very headstrong for his previous trainer, James Hewitt. Ben Paulin hadn't had him very long, had him 6 weeks, and they wanted to have a nice experience, which is what you want when you have a horse that hasn't had nice experiences before. The horse was never going to get into the prize money. Yes, he perhaps could have been harder, but the damage he could have done to the horse for doing that, when horse welfare is paramount, I don't think was necessary. The ban should have been reduced at least, but BHA decided not to, and like I say, Paul Struthers has been reported in the Racing Post and other publications that it's proven very hard for jockeys to overturn any decisions at the BHA at the moment, and there's a little bit of a concern. Like, for me, I've seen far worse instances of perhaps non-triers than what we saw there, and there was also valid reasons behind that. This wasn't a horse that was specifically going out there to deceive the handicapper and try and have £15-20 in hand. We've seen previous evidence of a bit of a runaway, trying to get him settled, trying to get him to enjoy his racing, and I'll say I'm surprised he came to that decision, but gutting for Jason Maguire to be missing Cheltenham, because a jockey who is very, very talented. Yes, his retainer, Paul Rooney, I don't think he has had any runners at Cheltenham this year. Donna McCain, his main yard, has not really got the stars they have had in recent seasons, but these big handicaps, you never know. A 33-1 shot, 40-1 shot can come in, and he could have been on one of those. So, disappointing for Jason, and like I say, I was surprised at the decision.
Mm. Me too, I must agree.
It's a good job I didn't go no win, no fee and represent Mr. Maguire, as I would have lost out.
Yeah, there you go. It's the perks of being a lawyer, I suppose.
It is.
Yeah, but we'll move on from that. Let's get back to racing. Saturday's action. You're going to look at three races for us, one at each of the jumps venues, and we'll get your thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, starting at Kelso in the 3 o'clock, which is the Premier Kelso Hurdle, a Grade 2 novices hurdle over 2.25 miles, 8 of them in the lineup, and some very good horses in this. You got the likes of Bristol Demir, who was obviously impressive on debut, maybe blotted his copybook a little bit last time, but then you've got talented others in there. Glingerburn comes here on the back of a hat-trick, Chieftain's Choice, another one that's going very much the right way, Intense Tango could come into it. It's a good race.
Kelso are going to be really happy, I think, with the field they've got for this 35 grand Premier Kelso Hurdle. It's a really, really strong race. You've got four very different decent novices who, if only two of those turned up, I think Kelso would have been happy. So to get all four, they're going to be really, really pleased with a turn up. Obviously, Bristol Demir won a Grade 1 on debut. The finale at Chepstow, traditionally, it's never really a strong race. He did beat Karazak, though, who's a useful horse for Alan King. And like discussed earlier on the podcast, Jolly Allen was second behind Garde La Victoire. Bristol Demir was third. He was 11-8 favourite. I think they expect him to win there and then enhance his Triumph Hurdle credentials. But obviously, again, as said before, Simon Meunier has got a very useful horse in Peace & Co. So sensibly, they're not going to run at Cheltenham. They're going to go for a slightly easier target. But this is a competitive race here at Kelso. And he sets a standard. He is the one to beat. But opposition's pretty strong. Glingerburn, very likely a race for a 7-year-old. But really progressive over hurdles. 3 starts, 3 wins. And beat Hawkeye over course and distance last time out. So Kelso is a pretty unique track, a very, very stiff finish. That form is going to stand him in good stead. He has got plenty of weight. He's got to give away to all of his rivals, which isn't going to be easy, but he certainly rates the benchmark. Chieftain's Choice, the Quinn team are not having a lot of luck lately, and this one was travelling pretty well when unfortunately he came down at Newbury in the very valuable Betfair hurdle. Back down to novice company. I think he might be sidestepping Cheltenham to come here. I'm not too sure, but this will be much easier and a much smaller field. He proved progressive in his hurdles so far. Unlucky second when the runner-up to the Grey Taylor. Subsequently won at Hexham and Catterick. And like I say, he was in the process of running a good race in the Betfair hurdle. This is much less competitive, and hopefully he can get his confidence and get back on track. And at the bottom of the weights, we've got the filly Intense Tango, who got off a mark in greater company last time at Doncaster, beaten past the time. It was mare's only company. I don't think that the mare's races are particularly the strongest. She's got a nice bit of black type there against the geldings tomorrow. She made a struggle, so I will probably be rewarding her out. The other three are really hard to split, but I will go with Glingerburn as a selection. I hope Nicky Richards has got a potential star in his hands.
Okay, Glingerburn in the 3 o'clock at Kelso then. Moving to Newbury next for the 3:25. This is the Greatwood Gold Cup Handicap Chase, grade three, over 2.5 miles. We have 11 of them in the lineup here, and do have a bit of betting on the website as well for this. St. Ralph 5-1 at the top of the market, 11-2 for Sound Investment. Royal Regatta is 6-1. Sevens for Benny's Mist and Westward Point. Midnight Bell is 8s. Nines for Seventh Sky, and 10-1 or bigger prices for the others. Nice open race this, Jake.
Very open. Yeah. Obviously, with Cheltenham around the corner, the really useful handicap chasers are waiting for Cheltenham, but we got some decent sorts, and it's a competitive enough race in its own right. Favourite St. Rolf. I was in the studio when he won very impressively at Wincanton last time out. Handicap was stuck up £11. Obviously, he won with 34 lengths, but the Paul Nicholls horse back in second was about 5 lengths down when unfortunately he came down at last. So, wasn't quite as impressive as the bare figures suggest, but the way he did it was pretty strong. Given 30 days off, so he's had plenty of time to recover. 10-10 free, no weight on his back again tomorrow. He only had 10-2 when he went at Wincanton. He goes on pretty soft ground, so I think he's going to be very hard to beat. Sound Investment, the Paul Nicholls challenger, ran well behind the young master last time out, but for me, it just kind of confirmed a mark of 149, perhaps on the high side. He was second to No Buts, beating 8 lengths off his mark last time out. I just feel the handicapper may well have got hold of Sound Investment. Royal Regatta, he's really been improving. He won here at Newbury at the Hennessy meeting off a mark of 130. Good fur behind Far West and Novice Company, and then successful at Doncaster last time out. He's up £14 since that Newbury success. So again, another one might be concerned the handicapper is beginning to get hold of him. He only won by half length last time. He had up £6. So of the two, St. Ralph was far more impressive. I think he could be unexposed and still be a little bit ahead of the handicapper. Of those at a price, Midnight Bells won her last two chase starts, and Tom Simmons' mare, very consistent. Whether she can be as competitive in a stronger race is a question mark there, but at 8-1, she'd be a nice each-way price for you. And one, perhaps, at a bit of a price, would be Easter Meteor for the Pipe Team. Hasn't really shone for New Connections. Used to be with Emma Lavelle, and last season was running a really good race in the Paddy Power Gold Cup when he came down. The Pipe Team will eventually get him right. He's dropped £8 and he joined the yard. And another one that to keep an eye out in a slightly weaker race than what he's normally running. So, interesting event. I think St. Ralph will be very hard to beat for Robert Welford and Felix DeJarves, and he will be the selection.
Okay. The final race we're going to look at is the 3:45 at Doncaster. This is the Grimthorpe Chase, Class 2 handicap over 3.25 miles. We have a field of 12 here. Nice competitive race again as well. Several of them coming into this in decent enough nick. You've got the likes of Arkin and Fabriega and Monperan all coming into this in winning form. Any of those on the shortlist?
Yeah, Monperan, Sean Bowen, nice to see him back from injury after, I think, a shoulder injury he had. One of the star conditions of the season. Unfortunately, he missed a massive chunk. He won on Monperan at Cheltenham in a very similar contest. Handicap has put him up 6. Sean's lost another £2 of his claim, so he's effectively £8 higher. Giving away 11-12 over 3.25 miles could be a little bit on the difficult side. Knight in Milan, real core specialist. He won this race last year, beating Storm Survivor by 5 lengths. He's £10 higher this time around. I think that may well be enough. Just denied by Grandad's horse here at the track on the 13th of December. And then up another £2, beaten 10 lengths away, if in doubt. So I think the handicapper off this marker 146 has probably got hold of course specialist Knight in Milan. But like I say, the last season's winner, you couldn't rule him out. Super Duty would be interesting, running for Ian Williams. He was a good second back in 2013 at Newbury behind Hayden's Approach in a 20 grand graduation chase, which was a really good effort. RPR rating 155. He's running up 141 today. Not a bad run over hurdles 4 weeks ago. Probably put him spot on for this. And in a race which is competitive, but nothing really stands out as a selection, I will just take a chance on Super Duty and hope that he strips fitter for that return 4 weeks ago after 18 months off the track. And you can probably pick up the pieces. So Super Duty will be the selection. Keep an eye on Nicky Richards' streams of Whiskey, who won three starts back over fences at Haydock. He pulled up on his return when made favourite at air over fences. So they dropped him back over hurdles after he made a bad mistake. And that was a bit of a confidence booster, I think, finishing second to Wicked Spice. Shows that he's in good form. And back over fences, I think he can resume progress. So streams of Whiskey is certainly interesting. But Super Duty will be the selection.
Okay, taking a bit of a chance on Super Duty then in the Grimthorpe Chase. As always, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, James, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Saturday one more time.
Yeah, Kelsey, we've gone for Glyngarburn. The Nicky Richards horse is against a competitive field, but he's won over course in essence. I always think he's key at Kelsey. It's a pretty unique track, and he can follow up his success a couple of weeks ago at Newry in the Great Head. We're going to go for St. Ralph, who I was really impressive at Wincanton. And finally, in the Grimthorpe, we're going to go for Super Duty. Hopefully Ian Williams can get his horse back to his best.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
And James Millman will be in the studio on Saturday. He'll be joined by Darren Owen and Andy Holding. They'll be live from 1:15pm for the action at Newbury, Doncaster, Kelso and Lingfield. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.